Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.com. The first golf major of the year starts this week, and you could play 1 week fantasy golf for free at DraftKings.com. Just pick six golfers before tee off on Thursday morning, stay under the salary cap, and rack up points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition, and you could win. Whether you're a master of golf or just ready to try a new fantasy sport, DraftKings brings the excitement of the game to a whole new level with every monster drive and every made putt, bringing you closer to a victory. And DraftKings has more than just fantasy golf. Choose from a variety of sports to showcase your winning skills. Millions of sports fans just like you have discovered DraftKings. Now it's your turn. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings.com. So get ready for the Masters. Fantasy golf contests begin when tournaments tee off, and the next one starts this Thursday morning. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your golfers and play for free with the promo code ROB. Enter promo code ROB to play for free now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for our weekly chat with David Bloomberg to talk about why Neil lost. And I'm hoping to get into this today with David. This is the time that I normally speak with him every week, and we go through why the players lost based on the rules that he wrote so many years ago for Survivor success. Unfortunately, I have not been able to track him down yet to this point, but at some point, you know, the show needs to go on, so I'm going to try to get him on the line here once again. Let me try him again. Okay.
Hello?
Hey, David, what's going on? It's Rob. I've been looking for you.
Why are you calling?
Because this is when we do the podcast.
Yeah, but isn't it kind of obvious why Neil lost? I mean, the staph bacteria that had taken over Brains Beach finally got him. His knee was their all-you-can-eat buffet. He even described it in excruciatingly gross detail in many of his interviews. I don't know if we need to analyze the strategy of pus.
Yeah, but I was thinking that we could just go through all of your rules and see at least how Neil was doing.
Oh, okay, we can do that.
Is this okay for you? You want me to call back later?
Oh, no. I think we're good.
You're good? You could just do it on the fly like this?
I think we can.
Okay, good. Good. We'll see how good you are just to completely impromptu, just be able to go right into it.
Yeah, we'll just have to improvise the whole thing.
We'll see. It'll be a real test. All right. Well, David, thank you once again for coming on with us to talk about why Neil lost. I know this had to have been a tough week for you. I can understand why you might want to try to play hooky this week, because Neil was your winner pick.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, when he left the game, he talked about he gave a speech, and you had talked about some of that quote on the voicemail show. I wasn't sure if you guys realized when he put out that tweet that he was talking about stuff that he had said on the show but had been cut. And just to remind you of what the quote was, it was, "You should consider yourselves lucky because I was going to beat each and every one of you, but they're pulling me from the game." So that wasn't him saying it like today. That was him saying it a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Since he felt so strongly that he was going to win, I think I should get credit for predicting it, right?
Yes. Did you buzz yourself?
Yes, I buzzed myself.
Yeah, well, they don't have a separate check for the person who declares themselves the winner, because a lot of survivors do that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Hey, before we talk about Neil, I did want to bring up another topic that we had talked about and lots of people had talked about until this most recent episode, and that's the merge.
Yes.
You know, pretty much all of us on the sidelines thought that the players all should have been considering the effect of the impending merge in any decision that they made.
Mm-hmm.
But watching the secret scenes, I don't think any of them saw it coming. Scott said in the confessional that the merge shocked everybody. Jeff pulled a fast one on them. Ty said it was way too soon for the merge. Debbie said everybody said it was too early for a merge. Michelle said they talked about it all the time, but they were sure there would be two more tribal councils. So apparently nobody was prepared for this shock that happened the same time it happens all the time.
It is odd to me, especially considering that there had been 6 tribal councils now to this point. I think you have to go back to Survivor South Pacific maybe to find a merge that came after 6 tribal councils. And then, you know, last season, I think might be an outlier, but I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head. I think that at that point, 7 people had gone, but you had Terry who was, evacuated out of the season. So I think even that holds up. So it is striking to think that more people weren't thinking about the merge, as a wise man once said. But to me, the thing that I might give them a little bit of, like, okay, it was only day 17. I mean, maybe there are some purists out there that feel like the Survivor merge tends to come around Survivor day 19, but it is almost incredulous to think that nobody was imagining the merge was coming. And I'm sure some people were, but it did seem like that they felt like they were going to be in these tribes for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, there was no secret scene with anyone saying, yep, I was expecting it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time anyone talked about it, they talked about it as a big shock.
Day 17 is a little early to merge, but definitely not unprecedented in the modern day game of Survivor.
Yeah, I don't know.
So let's get into talking about Neil and his exit from the game. And of course, under the very unfortunate circumstances where he doesn't actually get voted out of the game, but has to be medically removed, as we all know. So what do you think about Neil and where his standing was in the game heading into this discussion?
Well, I think he had put himself in a fairly good position, again, at least in his own mind. You know, obviously, that depends on what would have happened in this tribal council. And I think I have some new information about that.
Okay.
So, you know, we can look at that. But in his mind, he had said in at least one interview that he was one of the strongest physical players left. He was one of the best puzzle solvers, which we saw. He certainly felt he'd be around for a while. At least we can look at what he was doing right and what he was doing wrong besides hygiene, I guess.
I don't think we should put any of the blame on Neil's leg on his own hygiene. I think that's unfair, David.
I think that whole Brains Beach was just infected. And before they did second chances, they must have doused that whole thing with Lysol and bleach.
I don't know. I don't know what happened there before Survivor, but we don't need to know. We don't need to spend too much time thinking about that. Okay. All right. So the first rule, of course, that you could read more about David's rules if you go to robisawebsite.com/survivor rules for the long form version of David's rules for Survivor. But the first rule, you say, is that a survivor must scheme and plot. Did you feel like that Neil was sufficiently scheming and plotting?
Yeah, I think he absolutely understood the need to scheme and plot.
I agree.
And we didn't see a lot of it firsthand early on, but we heard about it from other players. And we heard enough to know it was true, primarily from Liz and Peter, because that was, after all, the main reason they wanted him gone. He was the snake in ice cream pants.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew he had it in him to be a good strategist. So he had made allies early. He paired up with Aubrey, obviously. And the original plan was to target Joe and Debbie, but he still remained close enough with them that he could flip the script, which is what he had to do, and work with Joe and Debbie to go after Liz and Peter instead.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, if you look at his day after video, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure was not filmed the day after based on the condition of his knee wound.
Right. Even in his Ponderosa video, it says that after a short stay at the hospital. So a few days after.
Yes. Yes. His few days after.
Not as catchy, Neil, a few days after.
Right. He didn't even have a bandage on his knee when they did his day after video. So
yeah.
He said he tried to get people to make decisions that were in their best interest and in his best interest. As I just mentioned, he and Aubrey wanted to align with Liz and Peter to keep the tribe young and strong. But Liz and Peter were so set on getting Neil out that it led to the exact opposite, which was getting themselves voted out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Neil made an interesting point, which goes along with what we have discussed in why Liz lost and why Peter lost, that the two of them were so worried about targeting Neil that they actually gave up the opportunity to work with him and stick around for a much longer time, and they got themselves voted out instead. So, you know, kind of an addendum to why both of them lost.
Mm-hmm.
As much as Peter and Liz thought they were in control of the original Brains tribe, and, you know, maybe Debbie did as well, Neil also appears to have believed himself to be the brain behind the brains. He gave himself credit for organizing the Liz blindside in his Ponderosa video. Mm-hmm. And his actions and statements seem to support him more than the others, and obviously definitely more than Liz and Peter. You know, was he or Debbie the big brain at the center of all this?
Right, what do you
now,
think?
Well, right now I'm leaning towards him.
Okay, although, how about that?
Yeah. I think he's smart enough to let Debbie think she was, though.
Well, I think that speaks to having a good mind for the game.
Right, right. And in fact, that is part of one of my rules is even if you're in charge, don't let anybody know that. Let them think they're in charge instead. Mm-hmm. Moving on to when the swap came, we didn't really get a chance to see what Neil could really do because, well, nothing ended up coming of anything on his tribe. We saw him and Debbie appearing to work with the Bronze to target the Beauties, but we also saw that neither the Bronze nor the Beauties were sure what they were going to do. So since there was no tribal council to force a solidification of alliances, everything stayed fluid. I personally think it was likely Michelle would have been voted out if they had lost either immunity challenge, but we really don't know that and never will.
Yeah, I agree on that. And then I think then the wild card in that becomes at the point where Jason and Sydney think Neil has the idol. Then what do they do once they have that information? But that seems to be, at least from the episode, that happened right before they ended up merging.
Right. And that does indeed bring us to the merge. You know, Neil tried to pull Nick and Michelle over, but he said in interviews that he didn't feel he'd been successful, at least in part, thanks to Debbie being overly aggressive with, well, everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, the Beauties said to him that they were with the Brains, but their actions and behavior told a different story. Could Neil have turned it around? Could he have made it past this vote by using information from the Beauties to keep the idol and let Aubrey be sacrificed? We'll obviously never know for sure. But we do have some interesting additional information. In a web confessional, Sydney said that Neil being medevac didn't really change much because she was voting Neil out anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, that was just one statement out of all the different confessionals and secret scenes. But it made me wonder if they really were going to split the vote or go after Aubrey, or if indeed they were going to somehow find a way to target Neil. The other option was maybe Sydney wasn't in on some part of the plan, so she thought that they were voting out Neil, or she misspoke.
How about this? What if it was going to be a split vote, 4 votes on Aubrey, 3 votes on Neil? She was one of the people that was going to be voting for Neil.
Yeah, but she said we, I felt like.
Her and two other people.
Well, it's possible. And it's also possible Neil could have gone home with the idol in his family jewels.
But she might have just been saying, okay, well, then the next vote after this one, after we flush the idol, she was voting him out. So it might just been a way of speaking that she really wasn't too attached with him. He was on the other side of the numbers and they were going to vote him out anyway.
Right, right. But you know how I try to solve questions like that.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know if we can really hold everybody to specifically what they're saying in each moment.
Well, we can try. We can try. And I did. It was time for a Twitter press conference.
Oh, good.
And, you know, originally I didn't think that a Twitter press conference would be of much use because the staph bacteria is notoriously reluctant to comment. Mm-hmm. But based on Sydney's comment, I asked Jason, Scott, and Sydney about that and what would have happened. Jason responded very quickly that Neil would indeed have been the one going and that they had a plan.
Well, what was the plan?
Well, I noted that if they thought Neil had an idol, the plan must have been to convince him that Aubrey was the target. And Jason replied, somebody's on to something there.
So Aubrey was the fake target and they were going to pass that information to him that Aubrey was the target so that he would give Aubrey the idol?
Either give Aubrey the idol or keep it in his family jewels.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, were they doing this using Nick or Michelle? You know, if they were doing it this way, was Nick a willing or unwilling part of the plan?
Patsy.
Because on the show itself, you know, Nick noted, obviously, that he was in the swing position and everybody was bringing him information. But Neil said on numerous interviews, he thought Nick and Michelle were going with the Brawn. So it's clear that the two were still talking and exchanging information. If this is true, and if, you know, Neil truly got his information that Aubrey was the likely target from Nick, then it may have made him feel comfortable enough to say he would probably have not used his idol, which is what he has said on interviews since then. So unless he picked up on something during tribal council, boom, total blindside.
Total blindside.
That's really, really interesting on a lot of different levels, because it really wouldn't take much to be able to do that. You basically would have one person who is supposed to be voting Aubrey, who then switches their vote to Neil. And they could always just do the Natalie Anderson of like, oh, I got confused which way to go. And then it's like, oh, well, we got rid of Neil and his idol all in one fell swoop. So I don't know if anybody would be too upset about it, but that really is a very ballsy plan. And I'm not talking about where Neil was holding on to his hidden immunity idol or how Nick won the immunity challenge. But that being said, because you're counting on Neil not playing the hidden immunity idol when he has it in his possession or passing it along. Like, I think that the history of the Survivor player is that they are very self-interested. It does seem a little bit ambitious to hope for that Neil is going to give away the thing that is guaranteeing his safety in that vote. I do think that that's a really, really risky plan.
Yeah, and I don't think they were counting on him to necessarily give it away, but just to not use it. And if, you know, I mean, he's been saying in his interviews that he probably wasn't going to use it. He clearly felt, at least in the, you know, time leading up to when he was medevaced, that Aubrey was the target.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the problem is, does someone stumble and say something and makes him decide to use it just as a safety precaution?
But that's such a game of double chicken. And damn, they're playing chicken that he's not going to give the idol away. And he's playing chicken, well, the votes aren't on me. And it really is crazy that ultimately for everybody is making a really big assumption.
It is a game of chicken, but if Jason was the one organizing it, it's an easier game of chicken for him because he has an idol himself and he knows Ty has an
idol. And Ty loves chickens.
Well, that's true. But he also knows Ty has an idol. So none of the Braun core was really in any danger. Okay, Neil pulls out his idol and says, well, you know, just in case I've decided to use this. Either Jason pulls out his idol and says, well, I don't want the blowback coming on me, so I'm going to play this. Or else they wait and, you know, try to convince Ty to hand over his half of the idol if, for example, Scott ends up being the target.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
So now Neil himself did weigh in on this with one tweet. He must have seen the discussion and he simply replied, the game evolves, so do the stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really prove anything either way other than to say something to the effect of, yeah, sure, whatever. yeah, but he clearly remains unconvinced.
Well, yes, as Steven would tell you, Twitter press conferences are never canon.
Hey, no, don't ever say that.
All right.
Steven has never said that about Twitter press conferences.
If we asked him, somebody have a Twitter press conference with Steve Fishback, ask him if tweets are canon.
You know someone's going to send him one now.
Yes. Okay. So, David, anything else from the Twitter press conference?
No. That was the extent of it. It was a short press conference. But, you know, again, to me, it all goes back to kind of the linchpin that started all of this, which was what Sydney said in her confessional. To me, she believed they were voting him out.
Okay.
And so that story was not something that changed. That was something she said at the time a year ago. So I do think that it's possibly true. And if the Braun's had managed to pull the wool over Neil's eyes and vote him out right now, I would be saying that Neil was a good schemer, but he would have been outplayed at his own game. As of right now, we can only say he was good, but we don't know exactly how good.
Okay, more on this story to follow. All right, rule number two is don't scheme and plot too much. Do you think that Neil might have been scheming and plotting too much? Was he on a bad track?
No, I think he was okay, mostly. He was okay with the amount he schemed and plotted. His issue was keeping his scheming secret. And part of that was under his control. Part of it wasn't. In a season where each player is tagged as a specific type, brain, brawn, or beauty, it's really hard to avoid being lumped together. The base case assumption seems to be that the brains will stick together, the beauties will stick together, and the brawns will stick together. I think that tends to be the base case assumption of any starting tribal alliance in any given season, unless you really make an effort to show otherwise. But when they have these categorized seasons, it really pushes the point home. And if you want to do something different, you as a player need to make it clear to everyone else that, hey, I'm not with them. I'm a free agent. I may have started as a brain, but I'm not, you know, brains through and through. And Neil, I think, was indeed marked by the Bronze and the Beauties as being a solid brain, mostly because he was. You know, we saw no indication he would be betraying Aubrey, Debbie, or Joe anytime soon.
Yeah, him and Debbie were like toilets and toilet paper, according to Debbie.
God, that was the worst. And speaking of Debbie, when she started pushing way too hard on Ty and the others, it reflected poorly on Neil. You know, if you... I was going to make a toilet and toilet paper analogy, but there's nothing good that will come out of that.
So don't I'll too hard.
I'll just leave on that.
Yes.
But, you know, I think it may have caused some of the other players to target them instead of partnering with them. But even beyond the overall Brains Alliance, I think Neil had too obvious a duo with Aubrey. It probably wasn't quite as bad as the Liz and Peter combination, but the two of them did stick out as a pair. I think Aubrey called Neil something like the only other weird person out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this obvious association between the two of them allowed the Bronze plus Beauties to feel confident that they could split the vote and be perfectly happy if either of them were to be voted out, much like Peter and Liz's original plan to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, or as we discussed just a few minutes ago, it could have allowed them to trick Neil into thinking the vote was going to be split with Aubrey as the target, when in fact they were going to be voting out Neil himself.
So you feel like he was a little too obvious about his loyalties heading into that merge, and that made him a very likely target in these next few votes.
Right. And, you know, we've said that before. Anytime two people pair up, they can become a bigger target because you know that they are rock solid together. That's what happened here. And it was really his only clear misstep under this rule.
Rule number three is to be flexible. Seems like he looks like a flexible guy. How about in terms of his gameplay? How do you think Neil did on rule number three?
Well, earlier I mentioned that Neil had originally wanted to target Joe and Debbie, but Liz and Peter wouldn't work with him. So what did Neil do? He was flexible and switched up his plans. That is exactly what a good player needs to do. When the situation changes, you have to change with it. He did, and because of that, he took control of the tribe. Now, fast forward to the merge, and Neil was looking at a grim situation, and I'm not even talking about his infections. In going over his thought process, Neil seemed like he was flexible enough to roll the dice. He was willing to let his close ally, Aubrey, get voted out if it meant he could keep his idol and still stay in the game. You know, as we've discussed, we're not sure what would have actually happened, but we do know that Neil was at least being thoughtful and flexible about it rather than just being reactionary and automatically saying, well, you know, just in case, I'm going to play the idol.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying. He was kind of rolling with the tide to see what information he had.
Yeah, I think he would have been open to any sort of ideas. And again, I think that he did not love the Jason and Scott pair. I don't know if you would say that that's more of a lack of flexibility to get on board with those guys, or it was just like so obvious that they weren't working with him that he wasn't really trying to push that. But I don't think that that was really a big issue for him. All right. Rule number four is don't let your emotions control you. Did you see an issue with Neil and how emotional he was as a player?
No. And actually, the situation of possibly letting his closest ally get voted out, it really does bear witness to how he did in this regard, because clearly, if he was willing to let Aubrey go so he could proceed further, he wasn't being controlled by his emotions. He wanted to play this game. He wasn't going to let an emotional bond interfere. To quote the first line of this rule, one thing everybody should have known since way back in the second season is that this is a game, not a search for friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I applaud Neil for setting his emotions aside in order to play well. Alas, bacteria have even less in the way of emotions, and they didn't care if they were bringing his game to an end.
No, they don't care.
No, those damn bacteria.
Yeah.
You know, I think he did perfectly fine.
Rule number five is pretend to be nice, play the social game, keep your politics and controversial beliefs to yourself. Okay, how was Neil doing on pretending to be nice?
Well, I do think he was able to pretend to be nice and generally play a good social game. How can you not like a guy in ice cream pants unless you're Peter or Liz, I guess?
Or if you could be lactose intolerant.
I wonder if they have any for lactose intolerant. We'll have to ask Neil that.
Hey, don't assume. Don't assume. You don't know that.
That's true. But anyway, you know, according to his interviews, he at least believed he was well-liked, and I think he came off that way on TV as well. But he was also willing to analyze his own game. In his 8 Things to Know About Neil on CBS.com, he said that if there was anything he'd do differently, it would be to spend less time looking for idols and more time getting to know his tribe mates like Sydney. Now, personally, I doubt he would have ever been able to woo Sydney away from Jason, but I guess you never really know until you try.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I think he was just fine in this area.
But, you know, I think that that's an interesting point. And honestly, I don't remember if he said this with me or if I read this in one of his other exit interviews, that he felt like he was set up particularly well because that they were staying at the Chanlo Beach. Wait, I think that's the right tribe name. And they were staying there. And he had already not only found the idol there from when he or found the idol from when he was with the Brains tribe. He was also then scouring the island to figure out where a new idol might be hidden in the post-merge game. So he was spending a lot of time looking for the idols, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the appendices. But maybe to speak to that point that he made, maybe too much time, not just looking for an idol, but also looking for where future idols might be hidden.
Yeah, and I think it's obviously a smart thing to do, but not if it comes at the expense of interacting with your tribe mates. However, like I said, I don't know. Is he ever pulling Sydney away from Jason?
Mm-hmm.
It seems unlikely. You know, the preview showed us that maybe there's a little rift there developing, but I guess we'll have to see.
But maybe more so than Sydney, maybe could he have done more to pull Nick and Michelle so that they were going to be voting with the Brains rather than the Brawn? And I know that the issue there isn't so much with Neil, more though with Debbie, but maybe he could have done a little bit there to make them feel better about moving forward with Debbie.
Maybe. I think he had a decent relationship with Nick. I think Nick was not going to be swayed by that sort of social thing. I mean, you know, they were close enough that during the challenge, Neil was grabbing Nick's ass. So,
wow.
And then talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
We don't want them to get too much closer.
Well, it couldn't have hurt because, you know, really, I mean, that what we've said is that it's, you know, Nick and Michelle are the swing votes here. So
that's true.
Even if, you know, they did a pretty good job and it's 51-49 where Nick and Michelle are deciding, okay, let's go with Braun. I mean, you could argue that there is a chance that you could have gotten Nick and Michelle to go the other way.
That's true.
I'm not saying it as like, oh, what an obvious mistake this was, but maybe there was an opening there.
Yeah, there could have been. I still feel like Nick was making the decision not according to that sort of social bond, but more according to, you know, his analysis, kind of like he did when he was a blogger.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rule number 6 is don't be too much of a threat. Now, how was Neil doing on this one?
Well, Neil knew he was a threat and said that he tried to tone it down. But even then, he didn't think he'd be perceived as such a big threat so early. But we saw that he was when Liz and Peter went after him. So he clearly must have let some evidence of him being a potential threat slip in order to raise alarms with them.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to control that issue. But moving to the merge, he has noted that both brawny people and beautiful people are threatened by brainy people, which I'm sure is something you've always noticed throughout your life.
Yeah.
Me too. That puts a larger target on you. He was seen as something of a challenge threat because he was, like we said before, a puzzle master and, you know, was decent physically, I think. Plus, he was well-liked, making him a future social threat. And the cherry on top of his three twins ice cream sundae was that they all believed he had an immunity idol, and they were right. So if you're sitting among the Brawns and maybe the Beauties as well, Neil was definitely the most threatening person out there.
Yeah, I think that this is the biggest thing working against him. I think that you look at Neil and, you know, and you listen to him talk. He sounds really, really smart. And I think that that's terrifying, especially when you're out there and you have people like to Jason and Scott, and it seems like he's not with them. I think that you look at him and say, okay, he is the brains behind this operation. And we could say, oh, well, maybe it's Debbie. But from an outside observer, I think you look at that group and you assume that Neil is the one calling the shots.
Right. Exactly. And if Debbie were putting on a show, if this were not her real personality, then she would deserve like an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the real brains behind the operation, but she's putting on this show. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Rule number 7 is vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Does this even apply this week where we're talking about a medical evacuation, or does it apply because that Neil fit in line with the next strong player to go?
Well, I'd say if he had been voted out, it would have been the strong, which would be, you know, normal at a merge. But in this case, I would say his immune system was weak.
Okay. All right. In terms of these appendices, do whatever it takes to get idols is the first appendix. Certainly seems like Neil did that. It also seemed like that Neil was looking for other places they could find the idols. And he also said that he was carrying materials to make fake idols.
Yeah, he was definitely excelling at the appendix here. You know, he talked about how he was searching for idol clues. I think Liz had mentioned it earlier, like she saw him digging around rewards or something like that, looking for clues just right from the get-go. And of course, he never found a clue because there were no clues. But he was also out searching for idols themselves. He said in interviews that by the time day 8 or so rolled around, he figured that, you know, the tribe might not still be on the beach for much longer, so he'd better ramp up his searching. And then it was on day 10 that he went a little higher up on a trail that he found a tree that he said was so clearly hiding something, you know, it was just obvious to him once he saw it. So he found that. Then he got over to the beauty beach. And like you said, he did more searching and searching, and he did find the location of where the beauty idol had been. But of course, it was empty, so he knew it had been found. I guess Nick tried telling him that Caleb had it and took it with him out of the game. But come on, who's going to buy the story that someone's going to get medevaced and take an idol with them out of the game? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like you said, Neil was just searching everywhere. And then there was one step beyond even that. He said in at least one interview that he was even about to search Jason's bag because he believed that Jason likely was the holder of the Brawn idol.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately for him, Jason came back too soon, so he wasn't able to, you know, discover that.
One other thing with Neil saying that, you know, when they thought he had the idol in his cargo pocket, he said the idol was never in that pocket. I had a bunch of string and things that I could use maybe to make a fake idols. I would say that that is probably a bad idea to carry so much stuff to make a fake idol that people think you have a real idol, because I think at some point that defeats the purpose of having a fake idol, unless it's such an obviously fake idol that people are calling your bluff. Like, right? Isn't that a little bit of counterintuitive, where you are having things to make a fake idol, but you have so much in your pocket that people think you have a real idol?
I think if he didn't have a real idol, it would have made sense to carry around a bunch of stuff to make a bulge in his pocket to make people think he had a real idol. But if you have a real idol and you're so concerned about people finding it that you hide it in your crotch,
mm-hmm.
then you shouldn't also be carrying other stuff in your pocket to make it look like you have a real idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he kind of outed himself accidentally.
Unless it's going to be, you know, some real elaborate stuff where, you know, you're going to like give the fake idol away to somebody so people don't think you have the real idol. I mean, again, there could be some useful reason to have people thinking you have a idol, but it's a fake idol, but then also having the real idol. I don't know.
Yeah, that's like James Bond villain yeah. elaborate. There,
right,
you
right.
know?
It's like, you know, some Tarantino movie type maneuver that you could pull off there. But I think as a general rule, I think that's not ideal what you want.
Yeah, I agree. But other than that, I would say generally he did a pretty good job as far as this appendix goes, certainly better than most.
Yes.
The one thing I think was that, lots of people were screaming at their TV sets for him to hand off the idol to Aubrey before leaving the game, but was not to be.
Final appendix is talking about the jury phase in the final tribal council. Was it too early to talk about that in regards to Neil's game?
Well, it was too early, and it was, since he wasn't voted out, it really has no bearing on anything, because it wasn't like the other players were thinking about something related to the jury. And even if he had been targeted, there was no indication that they were doing it in any way related to the jury.
What about in the inverse? How does it affect the players still in the game to have Neil taken out by a medical evacuation and now have him be on the jury? Does that take the sting off of actually having to vote him out? Say you are somebody like a Jason or Scott or Sydney. You're one of the people that are conspiring against Neil. Now he's out of the game. You didn't have to vote him out. Isn't that a help for you as Neil sits on the jury without as much animosity towards you as he might have had?
I don't think it is for Jason, Scott, or Sydney, but I do think it is for Nick and Michelle, because Jason, Scott, and Sydney, they were the enemy. He knew that they were going against him.
Mm-hmm.
Nick and Michelle were at least claiming that they were going to be with him, and they never had to cast a vote against him. So they can make the case, you know, should they get to the end, that, hey, man, we were with you. It's not our fault you're there. We were with you the whole time. We never cast a vote against you.
I think that that's a big point. I think that that was something that I've talked about a lot last season, where I felt like it was really good for Jeremy when Andrew Savage got idled out of the game, because that was somebody who was working with him, but eventually was going to be somebody he'd have to get rid of. And he might have been, you know, a really bitter juror if Jeremy ever flipped against him. And then here was somebody who was just out of the way and really created some room where Jeremy could operate more.
Come on. I don't think Savage would have ever been bitter. How could you say such a thing? He has never shown any evidence of that.
All right. Well, let's put Neil's evacuation into perspective. Do you feel like, based on what we've talked about today, that Neil was on a path where he had, even if it wasn't super likely, a decent shot at this? Or do you think there is enough evidence to prove that Neil was on a path to losing the game?
That it is a tough one, because the only truth we know is that you can never really count the votes until they're cast at tribal council. And by that, you know, I don't mean that I think people would have changed their votes at the moment there, because you know my opinion on that, even though it did happen last week. We just don't really know how everybody would have lined up in those final moments before heading out. Even if there was a dastardly plan at work against Neil, we don't know if something would have tipped him off, play his idol at the last second. What we do know is he played a good game up to this point. He knew how to scheme and plot, to be flexible, to leave his emotions aside. He actively worked to avoid being seen as a threat, but it still ended up shining through. He did allow his tight alliances to be a little too obvious, but again, that can be difficult to avoid in a season like this. Still, that might have been what set him up to be blindsided if the apparent Braun plan to lead him astray would have been put into action and worked. Now, Neil believes he'll have another shot and hopes that Jeff will give him that second chance. I both believe and hope it as well, though I do worry that he may be targeted early as a threat, since that was a large reason he was being targeted already. What's interesting to me is that if what Jason told me is indeed what would have happened to Neil, his opportunity to return might be better now than it would have been if he'd have been blindsided. Because now he can make the case to producers and the public that an infection took away his ability to show us what he could really do. If he'd been blindsided while still holding the family jewel idol, he couldn't make that case. We can't know what would have actually happened, but using the information that's out there, it appears there was a solid possibility we would have been talking about Neil whether or not the bacteria turned him into lunch. On your recap show this week, Pete Bro said that the game has evolved and is generally far less about surviving the elements. And he was right. But really, it's always been a lot less about surviving the elements than about surviving other people. It's kind of like The Walking Dead, where people are always the real enemy and have to be dealt with strategically. Sometimes, though, the mindless carriers of the world-destroying infection catch you in their jaws and your time is over. No matter what plans Neil or his opponents may have had, he got bitten. And that is why Neil lost.
Well, this was a dramatic Walking Dead and a dramatic Survivor this week. And we have move on from there. All right. So here we go in terms of now really figuring out what's going to happen in the post-merge game. David, have you given much thought into what is happening now at our first vote after the merge this week?
Coincidentally, I have. It's almost as if I knew you would ask that question. Mm-hmm. You know, when you were talking on the voicemail show, you were right about how Aubrey might not be the next target. Because although she was a potential target this time, depending on what we believe was actually going to happen, that was only because she was a solid duo with Neil. Now she can be a free agent rather than being so much of a threat. Without having gone to tribal council, you know, as I've said, nobody truly knows where anyone else stands. But if the Bronze and Beauties are indeed a single voting unit, and if I put myself in their shoes, I would still target Aubrey as the strongest opposition in the Brains.
Yeah, but you know a lot more about what we've seen this season than do the players on the island. Would they, with the information that they have, target Aubrey?
Well, and that's a good point. And the other thing is, they may be getting annoyed enough by Debbie to vote her out. Or they may even believe Neil passed Aubrey the idol, despite him not having done so. And therefore, they may avoid voting for her or try to flush it out. If Aubrey can make it past this one vote, I think she'll be in a good position to become a new swing vote and try to find cracks in the alliance of convenience that exists between Braun and Beauty. But all of that presumes that the Brauns and the Beauties will stay together for even this one vote. As we've discussed, those bonds were never fully solidified, and as Jeff Probst would say, the game has changed again. The newer preview that, you know, has just come out makes it seem like the Brains women are trying to make inroads with the other women, you know, maybe for an all-female alliance.
Do you think, is that a red herring to you or a blue herring?
I don't like herring, so I'm not really sure. I don't think a blue herring would be safe to eat, though. So it is possible. But the more interesting point about this preview is that Tribal Council will blindside us, the viewers.
Yes, yes.
Now, okay, this raises a question.
If you haven't seen the commercial for this week, that is what the announcer says, that this time Tribal Council will blindside you.
Right. But if you're told you're going to be blindsided, doesn't that kind of remove the ability to blindside you?
I don't know. It's like a Yakov Smirnov joke that in Soviet Russia, tribal council blindsides you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, to me, it's like telling someone that you're throwing a surprise party for them.
Well, you wait till you see the surprise party. You'll That's be even right. surprised.
That's right. You'll be so surprised at this surprise party I'm throwing.
Well, it's
for
like
you.
You're going to go to the surprise party, but wait until you get there. The surprise is on you.
Okay. Now, to be honest, that actually did happen. My wife threw a surprise party for a friend of hers who has a birthday near mine, and she told the friend it was a surprise party for me.
Yeah.
But it was actually a surprise party for her.
Okay. So we'll see what happens.
I guess it is possible. But in any case, Aubrey has to figure something out. She said in a confessional that Neil inspired her to play even harder and keep fighting. And I'm not sure how much that's going to help. But, you know, she also talked about how managing Debbie and Joe is a full-time job. And then there was a secret scene with her and Ty where she said she couldn't play the game for anyone else. She has to play for herself. And Ty replied that Joe was a heavy burden that was going to bring her down. When we put it all together, I do think Aubrey will strike off on her own. I'm sure she will try to get the Beauty and Braun women to her side. But, you know, again, is it a red herring or will she succeed? I think Michelle might be up for it, as she said in the confessional that she's not sure how long Braun and Beauty's relationship will last, or even how long Beauty and Beauty relationship will last. She hopes that she'll know when the timing is right. Maybe now will be that time. Then also consider what the first preview showed us. It looked like there was a confrontation between Jason and Sydney. Mm-hmm. So we also have to wonder where Sydney may stand. It could mean she feels like she's being edged out by the Beauties suddenly moving in, or it could mean the red herring that you were talking about, that we're going to start pogonging the brains and the producers have to put something in the previews to make it look like it'll be more interesting than that. Mm-hmm. Originally, I was thinking it was the pogonging, but combined with the other information, I'm really starting to wonder. The three of them alone, though, even if they did get together, that's not enough to do much of anything. They would need to pull in Julia, who, you know, as far as we could tell, was barely on the show last week. And they'd need either the other two brains or Nick and one brain. I guess Debbie makes the most sense, since she's been telling the other women that she wants a woman to win. But she went from kind of kooky, fun time Debbie to massively annoying Debbie in no time flat. Mm-hmm. And I know you've already discussed it earlier this week, but what the hell was she thinking when she got all super aggressive and started telling Ty he was in their alliance? You know, she's just going to have to dial it back a few notches, or nothing involving her is going to work.
Yeah. You know, the gender line subplot is an interesting one to come up at this point in time. Now, we're down to the final 10 after Neil's medical evacuation. But interestingly enough, we are at five men and five women still in the game, with five women being Debbie, Aubrey, Sydney, Julia, and Michelle, versus Ty, Nick, Jason, Scott, and Joe. It would seem very odd, though, for all of the men, or even the women. The women, I guess you could see a little bit more getting on the same page, but that group of men, it would seem very odd for me to see Joe now on the same side as Nick and Scott and Jason. So could Joe potentially stick with Debbie? Could we see it? Is it the women and Joe?
I think it could be the women and Joe. I think it could be the women and Joe and Nick. I think it could just be the women and Nick, with Joe just off doing whatever it is that Joe does. I mean, you know, Nick tweeted that his relationship with Michelle has always been up and down, and we certainly saw that over the past 2 weeks. Interestingly, he also posted some photos with her, so I guess she doesn't completely hate him, or else he's really good with Photoshop. You know. But on the show, he did actually say Michelle was his one true alliance. When I heard him say that, I thought he was deluding himself at first. But then we saw Michelle playing into it, so maybe she is good with him, and the previous week was just an aberration. Then again, maybe it's just that they were in agreement this week. So, you know, it could be that, you know, the first week we talked about it, which was 2 weeks ago, it was a down week. Then this week was an up week. We could be coming to a down week again. He said it was up and down. You know, would he sign on to an otherwise all women alliance? Or would he look at that and say, wow, that's just like signing my own death warrant? Mm-hmm. He might do it if it's just temporary, if it's just he's going with Michelle, his one true alliance. I know this is before voting blocks were, you know, invented, but, you know, just they're acting as a voting unit to switch over, get rid of some threats on one side, and then maybe they'd break off again. You know, I think it's a possibility, and I think Nick is smart enough that he would be willing to do something like that if that's where Michelle wanted to go.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michelle, to go off on a brief tangent about her, I know that Steven has talked and tweeted about her maybe having a winner's edit. I'm not sure that I buy it, but there was something that she said that, you know, kind of plays into it. One of the conversations that she had that led to Steven believing this was her talking about the reasons Jason and Scott would be perfect to face at the end. It's almost enough to make someone wonder if she won't be there with one of them, and referring back to what she said at the time. Mm-hmm. But then again, if they're going to go with a women's alliance and get rid of Jason or Scott, it kind of contradicts that. So something isn't adding up there. Does she join the women and target one of the guys she said would be easy to beat at the end? Maybe she does, to break up the power duo. It's really hard to say. But getting back to the more immediate future right now, rather than looking ahead to that potential final tribal council, if enough of these players join together, we could see Jason or Scott become a target. But then what? Jason has an idol. Scott knows about both idols. Would one of them be able to pry Ty's idol away from him to create the super idol? Is that what's going to blindside viewers at Tribal Council? That one of the players is blindsided, but they cancel out the votes to turn it back on the anti-Braun alliance?
I think that could be the blind side that they're talking about. I think that's definitely possible. We could see the playing of the super idol.
Couple of quick things. I feel like that if that is what happened, then I feel like there's really not a lot of hype about that happening. I kind of feel like that we'd be hearing a little bit more about something historic coming up this week, but maybe, you know, Survivor is getting a little tighter about not spoiling things for us. But I do get the sense, I feel like you would hear like Jeff Probst in his interview with Dalton Ross, like, boy, I'm telling you, next week's tribal council, something's going to happen. It's going to be epic. Something really, really major is happening next week. So I feel like I trust that Jeff calling that shot more so than just the voiceover announcer, because these commercials can be all over the place.
Yeah.
But number two, that the episode is called, have you seen the title of the episode?
No, I try to avoid them. I heard from the great Mike Bloom that they are kind of spoilery.
Again, that I think that we're talking about a lot of different things, that maybe we are on to one of the things that we've talked about happening and then many of the things not happening. So I feel like since we're already here, the title of the episode, you don't mind if I say it, right?
No.
Okay. The title of the episode is The Jocks Versus the Pretty People, which I think is odd. And I think it flies in the face of everything else that we've talked about here, where the jocks versus the pretty people is really, I mean, we've seen the beauty and brawn alliance working together. I mean, I feel like if anything, I would expect this episode to be called The Jocks Versus the Brains. But it seems odd to have a falling out between the beauty and the brawn.
Well, I guess that leads to the question of, is that really a spoilery title, or is it something simply that, you know, Aubrey or Debbie says, well, we need to turn this into The Jocks Versus the Pretty People?
Or is it Aubrey saying aloud, I need to decide who I want to go with? For me, it comes down to The Jocks Versus the Pretty People. So right, there's a lot of different ways that you could contextualize right that.
Yeah, that is an interesting episode title. But again, with so many different possibilities, I don't know. I'm gonna put that off to the side, I think, for now.
Okay, so in your mind, who is the most likely player to go home this week and the official David Bloomberg pick?
Well, before we get to that, there's one more thing I wanted to say, which is, if you saw Scott's confessional online, he talked about the merge and getting back together with Jason. I cannot imagine him ever turning on Jason. I don't know that I can say the same thing about Jason himself, because he talked about how he built the strongest alliance in recent memory from day one, and he has people telling him who has an idol and so on. Since he feels he's the one who built the alliance, I could see him turning on Scott if it becomes necessary. But again, going forward, I do not see Scott ever turning on Jason.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And then there's Ty. According to Neil in interviews, Ty is not just there to hang out and be friendly. He is playing the game and ready to go. And I think we saw a very small hint of that in that secret scene where he told Aubrey, hey, Joe's dragging you down. You know, that's not words you would expect necessarily to see from the Ty that we've seen on our TV. If things start getting down and dirty, I'm still not convinced Ty is ready for something like that, though. We'll have to see. You know, and the other thing about Ty is, he has that idol, and I think he might be willing to give it up to use as a super idol to save Scott, but he might be saving it for the chicken.
Okay. All right. So, David, who is the pick?
If there is no change in alliances, I think Debbie is the most likely target. If there is a change and the super idol gets used, I still think Debbie is the most logical target. Either way, I think she will go home in a total blindside.
Wow. Boy, that would be something. That would be something. It's really going to be a tricky week to prognosticate this. I don't know. That Debbie makes a lot of sense. You know, you talk about this women's alliance. If that comes together, who would they target? And you wonder if maybe if you could get the women on board, do they say, let's go after Nick this week because he looks like the physical threat? If Jason and Scott are deemed to be untouchable, where maybe Sydney wouldn't flip against them, maybe Julie doesn't want to flip against them, but, you know, the women might want to go in a different direction if they feel like, hey, Nick is getting too tight with Scott and Jason. He's taking our spot with them. So I know Steven has been saying Nick. I said Nick coming into the merge. I could see that scenario as well. I'll stick with Nick.
You'll stick with Nick. You know, though, if if Nick goes, then Steven's the best know-it-all again.
Yeah, that's fine. But I feel like if I put him as my pick, maybe I'll reverse jinx him into sticking around. I don't want to see Nick go home.
So okay.
I feel like by picking him, I'm never right, and that will help him stick in the game.
That's a good plan.
Using my reverse jinx powers to save him. So, David, great job once again. We will be back once again to talk about who is the first player voted out after the merge. And I'm very excited about on the podcast this week. Chaos Cast will join me to talk about how this is all going to shape up.
That should be fun. That should be fun. I'll you know, have her baseball card ready and her bracelet that I got from her.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so we will talk with Cass this week, Akiva Winokur on the voicemails this week, and then, of course, Survivor Know-It-Alls kicks off at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time, and then we're just 2 weeks away from the live show in New York, the next live Know-It-Alls coming up on April 13th.
Sure, rub it in that I can't be there.
Okay, not trying to rub it in, but we got a lot of fun stuff coming up. All right, so looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robhasawebsite.com. What's the hashtag, David?
I think it has to be Family Jewel Idol.
Family Jewel Idol, okay. No blue herring?
You could do blue herring, too.
Okay. We'll see if it's a red herring or blue herring. All right. Looking forward to getting back into Survivor once again this week. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or search for RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. Have a good one, everybody. Talk to you again soon.